A devotion for the devotional series of the Lutheran Church of Our Savior entitled Artwork About His Work. In 2006, nearly 14 years ago, Barbara and I eagerly awaited the birth of our second granddaughter. Our Lord, though, had determined that her time on earth would be brief, so brief that she wouldn't see the light of earth's day, but would spend it where she had begun it, nestled in the womb of her mother, Michelle. In memory of little Angela Joy, our daughter Michelle and her husband Neil had this beautiful wooden cover crafted for our baptismal font. One of our congregational craftsmen, Jerry Campbell, fashioned this wooden work of art according to the design provided him. It was no small task, but a task skillfully and beautifully done. Look carefully at the baptismal cover of our font. Count the number of pie-shaped sections of it. How many are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 sections. Not a random number, but a number that has such beautiful biblical significance to it. You see, the 8th day of the week is what from the first century was called the Lord's Day. But aren't there only 7 days in a week? Yes, in fact, Genesis tells us that in 6 days God created the heavens and the earth, and on the 7th day he rested. And so the day of our Lord's creation rest would, for centuries, be the Sabbath rest of God's people, the day that his people would rest from their 6 days of labor, even as he did. And it remained so until the day that the Lord's creation rest is replaced by the day of his redemption rest, after doing the work of dying for our sins upon the cross and being raised for our justification, on the 8th day, the timeless day of the new and the eternal beginning in Christ. You see, in Earth's first time sequence, there are 7 24-hour days of the week, creation being begun on Sunday, followed by God's creative work of Monday, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, our Lord resting from his creating work on the 7th day, Saturday. And so it was that on the 8th 24-hour day, Sunday again, that our Lord rested from his redeeming work, when he rose from the dead, initiating for us all that eternal 8th day which never ends, the new recreation day which knows no hours and weeks and months and years, and never sees dusk and darkness, but knows only the eternal light that emanates from the presence of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. The 8th day, the day that knows no hours because it has no end, the eternal day of the new beginning that begins for us in our baptism into Christ's death and resurrection. And so it was that St. Augustine writes, "So the day which was first, Sunday, will be also the 8th, so that the first life might not be done away, but rather made eternal," he says. And even more clearly, the 4th century church father, St. Basil, writes of Sunday saying, quote, "The Lord's day, the 8th day, is great and glorious. The scripture knows this day without evening, followed by no other day, a day without end. The psalmist called it the 8th day, since it is outside of time that's measured in weeks," unquote. And so writes 20th century French liturgical scholar Jean Danielou. He says, "In this way, the 8th day is defined in opposition to the week. The week is related to time. The 8th day is outside time," unquote. See why there are 8 individual sections of the baptismal font's cover? Even as Noah's family, interestingly, 8 in all, were saved in the ark, though drenched in the waters of the flood, so also your old self, drowned in the water of baptism, the sacrament that replaced the Old Testament sacramental act of circumcision, which significantly occurred on the 8th day, that the new you in Christ might baptismally arise and reside in the ark of the church until you step foot on the shore of the 8th day's new heavens and new earth where righteousness dwells. The 8th day, also called the Lord's Day, the day when the church from the earliest of times would gather together to celebrate the invisible, resurrected presence of the Lord, as the church received his very body and his very blood in the sacrament of the altar, the foretaste of the feast to come, which will be ours when we celebrate his visible presence during this eighth and eternal day into which we were reborn through baptism. That thought brings us full circle to the little granddaughter I never got to know, little Angela Joy, whose sonogram picture is encased in glass and sits among the photos of our other 17 grandchildren. They were all baptized into Christ and his eternal eighth day. Little Angela Joy was unable to experience baptismal rebirth because she never saw the light of Earth's day. How good it is to know that he who has given us the word and the water of baptism to create faith in Christ within our children hasn't bound himself to baptism as the only means through which he works that same faithing faith in the little ones unborn. You see, the word that little Angela heard when within our daughter's womb she was so faithfully carried into the divine services of the church and there heard the liturgy and the hymns of the church sung by her mother was the same powerful word which through water created faith in Christ in her mother and father and sister and brothers and grandmother and grandfather. Christ, who is at the center of all that the church is and does, Jesus Christ, who is the heart and the center of all that baptism is and does, Jesus Christ, who is at the heart and the core of the baptismal font cover, look at it. Look at the straight lines and each of the eight sections of it. They all point us to and lead us to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, whereupon he paid for our sin, the word of the cross event, which works for us and upon us to make us the sons and the daughters of God. When God calls me from the 7-day weeks of this world's time to the eternal eighth day, which shall see the creation and perfection of the new heavens and the new earth, it may well be that I will finally be able to see and embrace the little granddaughter, Angela Joy, that I was never able to see and embrace here. In Jesus' name, amen.